thank you for inviting me here tonight. My name is Jessica Overholt, and if you don't know me, I am a music teacher and band director here at Fredericktown, and I've been here for several years, and I'll get to that in my story. A few weeks ago, Meg Bender, a dear, dear friend of mine, asked me to come and share, and at first I was a little hesitant. And I can sing, I can dance in front of a bunch of little kids, but adults and grown-ups is a whole other story. So forgive me while I did type things out. I'm shaking up here and everything, but I felt like I'd do a little better if I read my story instead of trying to come up with it on my own. So bear with me. I read through this earlier, and I got a little emotional, so again, I will apologize for that ahead of time. So I decided to share because I have been praying over the past many months that God would use me. And if I had told Meg no, then I wasn't doing what God was asking me to do. So again, that's why I'm here tonight. I grew up not too far from here. We lived on my father's family farm, and my younger brother and sister and I spent many days playing in the haymow and down by the creek. We played school, even on summer break, and to my siblings' frustration, because even at a young age, I knew I wanted to be a teacher. We attended a lovely little country church, Berlin United Methodist, not too far from here, and although there weren't many that attended, they were wonderful people. Going to church was just what we did Sunday mornings. I attended Sunday school, learned how to play the hymns, memorized the Lord's Prayer, and memorized the books of the Bible. Although I feel that those were good things and wonderful experiences, I really don't think I knew what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It wasn't until college that I started to feel like I connected with God, although it didn't happen right away. After high school graduation, I went to Ohio University, and I majored in music education. I loved college. People, the marching band, studio classes, dorm, and apartment living, and especially independence. I decided sometime during my freshman year that I was just too busy for church. It was fine for me growing up, and at that point I felt like I was an adult now, and I just didn't have time for it. One of the first people I got to know my freshman year was this girl down the hall named Chris. Chris invited me to church a couple of times and even to a Christian college group called ROC, which stood for Reach Out on Campus. I turned her down numerous times. It was okay for her to do those things, and I respected her for it, but don't try to get me there. Sometime during my sophomore year, my life as I knew it took a big twist. The guy I had dated since my freshman year in high school, so about 5.5 years, wanted to end our relationship. At the time, it was truly devastating. I suffered from severe depression. And I struggled with trying to figure out who I was because my self was so tied up into him. I almost didn't return to school that spring, but I had stayed friends with Chris, and she convinced me that I could finish the year. After an unplanned shifting around of roommates, she moved into my dorm room. I know now that that was God at work in the situation, and I didn't even realize it. I'm not sure how she did it, but Chris got me to attend a weeknight meeting of ROC. I probably only went to keep her quiet. If you know Chris, you understand what I mean by that. My heart was starting to soften a little, so I went. After a few weekly meetings and Sunday morning services, I started to feel like this was something that I enjoyed going to. I can't pick that up. It'll shake too much. I started to feel like I had a handle of who I was becoming and maybe a tiny bit of sensing a plan for me from God. After becoming more and more involved in ROC, I decided to go on a weekend retreat. I was getting to know people that had a passion for serving God, and that was something I wanted to do. The retreat then led me to a mission trip to Oklahoma to work at a children's home, and then ultimately, it led me to accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I grew up in the church, but I somehow missed that crucial part. After graduation from OU, my first job was in a small school district called Greenfield McLean. It was a town very similar to Fredericktown. There I had the privilege of getting to know a small group of young adults. We attended church, went to several Christian concerts, and in general just kind of hung out. Towards the end of my second year there, a series of events occurred that shifted me away from where I thought my life was taking me. It was nothing tragic, thank you, Lord, but I started to feel like God wasn't following my plan. Those that know me know that I'm a planner, and I like to have control, or at least know what's going to happen next. Well, God must not have looked at my calendar or my timetable of how things should go. Several somewhat negative events occurred that really made me question a lot of things, especially where God was in the midst of all of it. When those circumstances became too overwhelming, I finally held up my hands and submitted to God. Almost a, okay, I give up, God, you win, kind of attitude. Then things started to change. In December of 1995, I stepped out of my comfort zone and I went on a blind date. Remember that planning thing? A blind date is definitely not in my character. My cousin had set me up with this guy named Eric. He was her best friend's brother, kind of a typical Frederictown thing there. We, you know what I'm talking about. We met at my aunt and uncle's house here in Frederictown. We ate pizza and we watched a boxing match on TV, and I don't even like boxing. That weekend, I went back to Greenfield and told a friend that I think I met the guy I'm supposed to marry. For the record, I called him, again, not my character, and we started dating a few weeks later. 6 months later, we were engaged. That June, I resigned from Greenfield without a job, a huge leap of faith for someone like me that likes control. And I moved back to Mount Vernon. We had set a wedding date for May of 97, basically a year later, and I didn't have a job. Panic mode for me. I interviewed at a few schools, and I was even offered a teaching position twice at the same district. They called me, I turned it down, and they called me again about a week later and said, "Are you sure?" And I still said no. It just didn't feel right. Now I look back, and I know that was God telling me to wait. He had something way better planned for me. That school year, I signed on to be a substitute teacher at Mount Vernon in Frederictown. I worked nearly every day, and fortunately, many of those days were here at Frederictown and for the band. I finished that year getting a long-term sub position at Reynoldsburg City Schools. It was only for 5 months, but at least I had insurance and a little better pay. Although I appreciated the job opportunity, the experience at Reynoldsburg convinced me that I liked the small-town schools and people so much better. Again, part of God's plan. Mid-May of 97, I received a phone call from a friend that there would be a music job open at Frederictown. The day before my wedding, I had my first interview. The next day, Eric and I were married and spent a week honeymooning in Hawaii. The day after we returned, I had my second interview and was offered the job. So in basically a week, we had bought a house, got married, and I got a new job. Not quite in my plans. So I guess here I am now. I'm married to a wonderful husband who makes me laugh and supports me no matter how crazy I can get. He truly loves the Lord and has the amazing ability to help others see how God can work in your life. His faith has been a true example to me, and I can honestly say that he has been another answer to prayer. I have three fantastic children, Will, Meredith, and Luke. Parenting is a whole other topic that can really stretch your faith. I will say that most of my prayer time is spent praying for them. I truly believe that children are a gift from God, but I've always felt like they belong to him, and for some reason, he thinks I would do a good job of raising them. I've certainly not been a perfect parent, but I hope that someday they will know that God loves them so very much, and that he has incredible plans for their lives. Now, some of my God truths. I have a lot of them, but I had to narrow them down a little bit. These are the things that God's working on me, probably in the past 6 months or so. Number one, God has a plan for every one of us, and guess what? It's so much better than what we could ever dream of. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." I believe that because of God's plan for us, everything we experience in this life has a purpose, even the not-so-great things. The people he puts you in contact with, the experiences you have are all for a purpose, to fulfill his plans for you. We may never understand why something happens, but we have to trust and have faith that God needed it to happen for a reason. I think we also have to understand that that reason may be for you, but it could be for someone else, and God's just using you to make that happen for them. So I mentioned faith. Faith is knowing that God loves you and knowing that he's with you even when he seems like he's silent. Real faith is knowing and trusting that God's got this, no matter what the outcome is. For example, as some of you know, I've had my share of changes as a band director here at Frederictown. I've worked with 4 different headband directors in my 21 years. Change is difficult for everyone, and I know that with our most recent director, his decision to leave was tough. I can honestly say, though, that I have faith that God had a reason to bring each one of my past coworkers here, and he has a reason to bring in our new director. I don't honestly know all the answers or the reasons why, but I do know that it is to fulfill a part of God's purpose for our lives. That's where the faith steps in. We don't need to know why things happen, but we do need to believe that it's part of God's plan. We need to go back to Jeremiah 29:11. I'll read that part again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That part is so good, but I think we need to keep going. Verse 12 says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That leads me to God's truth number 2. Seek and find God. God loves you so very much, and he wants desperately to spend time with you. Read scripture. Get to know who God is. Study how Jesus lived on this earth. When you do those things, you learn about God's character. And when you know who he is, you can recognize his voice, which will lead you to be who he wants you to be. I pray every morning that I'm seeking God and I'm following the plan he has already set out for me. I spend part of my morning before school reading his word, studying the scriptures, and praying and praying and even more praying. Before, I would do those things if I had time, because I'm busy. Yeah, whatever that means. I had my priorities a little mixed up. Now God gets the first part of my day, and wow, what a difference. I encourage you to start your day, even if it's just a few minutes, reading scripture and praying. When your day starts with God, you will sense peace and joy, and then you'll want to know even more about him, which will bring you even more peace and joy. When you do sit down to spend time with God, ask him to open your mind and heart to receive what he has for you. I know he will follow through and speak to you, because he has promised to do that. And finally, God truth number 3, be still. That shows up everywhere now, and I think it's for me. It's all for me. Another focus of my prayer time is to give up control and allow God to be God. God knows that I have a tendency to feel like I have to fix things to make everything okay. Well, I'm learning that sometimes that's just not my job, or even remotely what God is asking me to do. Recently, I took it upon myself to make a decision in a situation I was facing. I wanted to do God's will so badly, I prayed hard for him to give me a concrete answer. I went so far as boldly praying for a sign. Has anyone ever prayed for a sign? I'm not talking a little sign. I want a billboard, like clearly spelling out what I was supposed to be doing. Well, I didn't get a billboard. At first, I thought maybe God wasn't hearing my prayers. Well, I know better. And I knew that God would never abandon me, especially when I was seeking him with all my heart. Then I started to feel like God was telling me to be still. Well, that wasn't an answer. That was certainly not the clear-cut, billboard-type answer I was seeking. How can I be still, God? Don't you know, God, that this is a decision that needs to be made now? Like, I have the authority to tell him that, but I sometimes feel like I do. I will do what you want, God, but I need to know what it is. I sometimes think God's sitting up there shaking his head at me. And he just thinks, just be still. Just be patient. He lets me throw out my little but God things until I'm all done, and then he steps in and starts to teach me. Well, be still was God's answer. When I finally settled down and made a point of being still, little things started to happen. A friend, Mrs. Bender, would show up and pray with me. Songs like Control by 10th Avenue North, that's like my theme song right now, Be Still by Casting Crowns, and Thy Will by Hillary Scott would come on the radio. My devotionals, those mornings, were dead on exactly what I needed to hear. Here's the thing. God wasn't asking me to make the decision. It wasn't really mine to make. I just thought that I needed to control it by taking it upon myself to make the decision. I needed to be still and let God take control. God just needed me to get out of the way. Just know that sometimes be still could be your answer, and you really need to be still. Use that be still time to dive into his word even more while you wait for God to take care of the situation. My prayer for you tonight is that you will open your heart to God and that you will allow him to be an everyday presence in your life. Just the fact that you are here tonight means that you want to grow closer to him. Get into his word. Learn all you can about who he is. Study Jesus. Make his teachings your own. Hold God's promises close to your heart. Then you will be able to recognize his voice. You'll be able to trust in his plans for you. You'll be able to have faith that he is in control and be able to submit to his will and not your own. Please know that he's already in love with you. He's just waiting for you to fall in love with him. Thank you.